The CFP, College Football Foundation, 5th Annual Extra Yard for Teachers Week, and then continues this weekend with a nationwide celebration of teachers. And I just wanted to go on record and say that how important teachers are, not only in Ohio, Columbus, throughout the country, and how much of an impact they had on my life. And I don't think they get nearly enough credit, that the work that teachers do to our youth in shaping their lives is critical. And so I just wanted to, publicly thank all the teachers again, throughout the state of Ohio, Columbus, and then throughout the country. In Miami, Ohio, coming in here this week, 3:30 kick. This is a team who's been through, they've been to tough environments before, so they're not going to be intimidated coming into the Shoe. And again, several, Ohio guys on that team who will be highly motivated coming in here. So, we got to adjust to the 3:30 schedule and do a good job of preparing and get ready to play a good game.
That, we'll open up questions front row middle, Dave.
Ryan, I was rewatching the game, and Indiana's defensive coaches told the Fox broadcasting crew, Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt, that they wanted to attack the right side of your offensive line. What do you make of those comments, and did you notice that during the game they were trying to attack the right side of your offensive line?
I didn't. I think, Brandon Bowen and Wyatt Davis are two of the better linemen in the country, and so it's not something really even noticed all that much during the game. I think they did bring, when we were into the boundary that side, some corner blitz a few times. But, for the most part, they were lining up in their defense and playing their defense. But, I think anytime, there's somebody in there who's untested, like Brandon, hasn't really played a bunch of tackle, then they want to find out what you're made of and why it's getting more and more film out there for people to look at. But I think they're answering the test.
Front row left, Mitch.
Hey, Ryan. After starting the season the way you did, how difficult is it to keep your guys on task and keep pushing them to get better? I mean, they played so well against, obviously, overmatched opponents.
Yeah, I mean, we played well, but we didn't play great. We played hard, we played tough, but we have so many things to clean up. And when you watch the film, it's actually really frustrating to watch. There's so many things we can be cleaning up there. So, the coaches are working at it. We started that on Sunday and making sure we started addressing some of those issues. But it was the same thing when we started a couple weeks ago. And it was all about, don't worry about what people are saying. I don't know how much respect we had throughout the country coming into the season. But we said ignore the noise. Well, it's the same thing now. Just because we won a couple of games hasn't changed anything for us. And so we need to stay focused on right now. And we do have some momentum going right now, but we got to keep that going. And that's incumbent upon the coaches and the leaders to make sure that we stay focused, that we don't get distracted.
Right behind, Bill.
Ryan, when you were thinking about, I guess maybe the framework of what you wanted your defense to look like, how much of your own successes and failures as an offensive play caller, things that worked well against you and things that didn't work well, informed those decisions?
Well, I think that you watch a lot of film and you see different people play. And each week it's thousands and thousands of clips of film. And then you go into a game plan and you have different ideas and you go up and some of the best coordinators in the country, in this league and some of the leagues that I've been in. And you just try to figure out what the trends are moving forward. And I think what we're doing right now is right where we need to be. You can see a lot of teams are kind of going down this road right now. But again, when it came down to it, you look at who you have, you look at your four down front, because, we recruited well up front there, with Larry and the guys he's got. And then combine that with stopping the run, which Greg and Larry and Al and those guys are doing a great job of. When you match that in with Jeff's background of zone coverage, man-to-man, zone pressures, all those different things that he has in his background, I think that gives us an edge. And that's schematic. But at the end of the day, that's not really what we're doing a great job. To me, it's that we're playing tough. We're playing hard. We're tackling well. We're running to the ball. We're playing with good emotion. Because, again, watching the film, there's so many things to clean up. And you can overcome, a bunch of that stuff with effort and with toughness, and that's what we're doing right now. But if we want to get to where we need to get, we're going to have to make sure we clean up a lot of these things.
When you're watching film of opponents or you're in that room back there drawing stuff up on the whiteboard, is there any common thread among the defenses you face that give you the most trouble, or going into that week it's going to be like you're going to get a good test? Is there any commonality among those defenses?
No, not really. I mean, I think – Everyone tries to stop the run. That's the first thing that they do when they walk into their room. They have to stop the run. And so however teams do that, whether it's pressure, whether it's putting an extra guy down in the box, whatever that might be, they're going to do that. But rarely do we see teams that just go completely off the deep end and just change what they do, because typically that doesn't go well. There's a lot of spring practices, a lot of preseason practices. Oops. Where guys, are getting a lot of reps in that defense, and if you start changing that, or you start going to a blitz that you've never seen before, and all of a sudden you get looks you haven't practiced, that's when you can get hurt. So that's why you build that foundation in the spring, you build that foundation in the preseason, and you go back to it. Now, how can we change up the look? That's simple for us, but difficult for the defense. That's the key to coaching.
Right next door, Ari.
Hey, Coach. I think at the beginning of this year, with you replacing Urban Meyer and having to replace a quarterback, the national viewpoint for this program was skepticism in terms of whether or not you guys could be at the elitist of elite still. And so far through three games, the way you guys have played, the tone and the viewpoint of this program has shifted from a national perspective. I'm just wondering how early in a season as a coach, and maybe this is your first year going through this, do you know you might have something when other people are taking notice? Do you internally kind of get that feeling too? And you know, you look around in the room and you look at the film and you see, like, do you feel like this team has something special?
I've felt that for a little while now, yeah, and I've talked to the team about that. I think we can be great. We're nowhere near where we need to be, but we can be. We have the ability. We have the talent. We have the leadership. But if we want to get to where we want to go, we have to take it 1 week at a time. And again, I know it's cliche, but we keep talking about you just have to do a great job today, and today's a really hard Tuesday practice, and if we train the way we train, then Saturdays will take care of themselves. If we stay focused, if we don't get distracted, those type of things. But it's the same thing. It's the same people, you know, I'm sure, who had those doubts early on, and now, you know, they're excited about what they see, and that's great, but that has nothing to do with us. You know, this is about the way we go to work every day, and we have to just stay focused on our jobs.
When you look at the position you're in, and I know there's probably not a lot of time for reflecting, but there are so many different routes in coaching to get to this point, to get to the highest point in college football, being a head coach. Do you ever look at the roster? Do you ever look at the film? Do you ever look at the room and go, this is my first year and look what I'm in charge of, and like feel, I don't know, thankful that you are in this position and to be able to, you know, lead a team that's this good this soon in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always are. I think now is not the time for that. You're just so immersed in what you're doing. And, you know, obviously extremely grateful to have this opportunity. But to be around the coaching staff I'm around and the type of people is what makes it special. And this is obviously a special place. And I think right now, you know, the culture is strong. And what we're doing right now is exciting in terms of guys are playing hard. There's great energy and recruiting throughout the team. You know, guys are playing hard. We're getting a lot of guys on the field. We're developing some of the youth in the program. And so we got to keep building on it. But it's, as we all know, we have to produce each week. It's a performance-based business, and we have to bring it this week. Otherwise, you know, that all goes down the tube. So challenge is to continue what we're doing right now.
Far left, Lori.
Coach, kind of jumping off Ari's question about when do you know what your team is? When do you start getting a good idea of what your opponents are without, like, going back to, say, a true freshman quarterback's high school film? Is this the time of year where you're starting to get your arms around what you're going to see on Saturday ahead of Saturday?
A little bit. You know, you're starting to get more and more film out there, so you're getting a better idea based on what their foundation is. And, you know, they're going to have adjustments in game. But every game it gets a little easier to be able to recognize what they're doing. But I don't think you truly know what a team is until you get towards midseason. You know, guys start making adjustments, guys make changes, personnel, schematically, whatever that is to adjust their team, and that's college football. So I think as we start getting in here to the next few games, then you know, teams start to solidify themselves.
Since you talked about getting an idea early on that this team had the capability of being something special, what was it that gave you that sense?
Just day to day, the type of people that are here, the type of kids that are here, their work ethic, the way that they motivate each other, the way they work in the weight room, academically, you know, all phases. You know, they're the kind of kids that you want your family to be around. You want your son to be around. There's great role models, and you know, my son goes into that locker room, and then they're great kids to be around, and there's a lot to be said for that.
Right, Austin.
Ryan, one of the first things you said after the game was, you know, Justin left some yards on the field, and he acknowledged that as well. When you reviewed it on film, what was causing that?
Well, there's a lot that goes into it, and again, it's experience. You know, we talked about that going in, that you know, we've won handily here a couple games, but still, you know, the experience of playing quarterback, still doesn't have a whole bunch under his belt. And so you know, it's one thing to do it in practice, another thing to do in a game. And the more reps you have under your belt, the more comfortable you are. And you know, going back and looking at the film on two of those throws, I mean, he had a guy right in his face. He did. On the long one to Chris, he had a guy coming right on his arm. And then the touchdown that he missed to Austin, same thing. There was a guy right in his face. So, you know, there's a lot that goes with that. You know, we got to clean up the protection. We got to clean up the throws. He's going to have to make throws. And you know, he gets hurried and he gets pressured. He gets hit. But overall, he's managing the game well. And, you know, just keep watching the film and learning from it. You know, so much of it is experience at quarterback.
He referenced setting his feet some. If somebody's barreling down on your face, maybe that's hard. But how do you guys work on that? How do you correct that issue?
Well, in practice, what we do is we typically have somebody who's there. So it's not just you're out in open space. It's very, very different for a quarterback, like when he's on 7-on-7 coming up in high school or even in practice when there's nobody around you and you're throwing a football. There's always going to be somebody around you when you're in a game. So we'll have people during 7-on-7, you know, kind of stand in there and simulate the rush. Sometimes a coach will jump up in front of him. He'll have to slide his feet, things like that. You know, sometimes in the drills, we'll throw different bags at his feet to make him feel that presence of a body right there. And again, he's come a long way, but we're continually building on that. But again, I think where he is right now is light years ahead of where I thought he'd be. So we'll just keep working those drills, and the more he feels comfortable, the better he'll be.
Second row right, Tony.
Ryan, I'm not sure how much college football you watched this weekend. You guys probably got home a little bit earlier than we did Saturday. But there were quite a few mistakes late in games that cost teams the opportunity to win. I'm wondering, how much time do you guys spend on creating awareness, building awareness, and teaching guys on the field, off the field, about those late games situations?
Yeah, we do a lot of it in the preseason and then in spring. Preseason, we do a bunch of situations where we talk that through and all the different things. Fridays are typically a really good time for us to do that in walkthroughs, where we go through these different situations and go through the plays that we would call in those type of situations. You know, Mike and Kevin are really on top of the game management in terms of the clock, when to take a knee, when not to take a knee. When games like this come up, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll actually put the film up and as a staff talk about, you know, what would we do in this situation and what plays would we call, what defenses would we call, and just it triggers great conversation. And so, you know, I think you can overdo it sometimes with those situations, you know, and become distracted, but you got to have your plan ready to roll, and you got to have great communication, and those decisions should already be made before you go into the game.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, you've had some freshmen who have already played three games now. How much over the next couple of weeks do you have to have conversations about, you know, which of these guys should we redshirt and which of these guys should we keep playing all year?
Yeah, that conversation is going to be happening pretty soon. And, you know, these guys came here to play, and so we want to play with depth, and we want these guys to play. And so, you know, when in doubt, we're probably going to play them if we think that they can help us this season and really create depth. If we think it's a situation where, you know, we're already three deep at one position, he's probably not going to get on the field other than, you know, maybe at the end of a game, then we probably won't. We'll try to be really smart about that. We wouldn't want to burn anybody's red shirt, but at the same time, the more experience they get this year, the better they'll be next year.
Kind of your philosophy on that. I know Urban Meyer's philosophy was we really don't redshirt unless we have to. Kind of what's your philosophy on, you know, whether a guy should redshirt, whether that's beneficial for them?
Yeah, I think that when you say we're going to redshirt this person, they almost start to lose hope a little bit. Like, okay, I guess I'm not playing this year. And so we don't like to do that. However, you know, within this new four-game rule, it allows the opportunity to get these guys in the field to figure out, you know, can they help us this year? And if they can't, we want to play them. If they can't, then usually, typically, we'll kind of hold off and wait until it's an emergency situation or we need them at that point in the game. But we certainly would not tell somebody at this point of the year, hey, you're redshirting for the year. You know, we just don't know. You know, here are the games you played. If we put you back in a game, it's because you can really help us win a game or two or three. And then we'll kind of just make the decisions as they come up.
Front row middle, Joey.
You touched on Brandon Bowen at the top. For a guy coming off injuries, you seem pretty pleased with his performance. Is he maybe ahead of schedule where you expected he would be?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about head of schedule in terms of that. I mean, he's fully cleared and he's 100%. So, you know, it's not like we were expecting him to take longer to get going. You know, he came off his injury. He had his surgery last year, and he's 100%. But I will say that he is practicing, you know, at high level. I think he's playing strong. And as we start getting, you know, into, you know, tougher games and the season wears on and his body, you know, starts to get worn down a little bit, that's going to be the big challenge for Brandon, and see if he can withstand the whole season and stay healthy and take care of his body. But so far, so good.
And any more clarity as far as the backup quarterback spot? Chris Chernoff gotten coming first?
Yeah, not really. I mean, the more Gunner is here, the more he can learn the offense, then the more he can, you know, show what he can do. It's hard during preparation. You know, the bye week's a little bit better time for that. We can't really, you know, let those guys compete, and they kind of split reps with the twos because we're trying to get the starter ready. The more that Gunner can learn the offense and feel comfortable with the terminology, the reads, the progressions, the protections, the better off he'll be. So no change right now, but he's learning more and more.
Front row left, Nathan?
You mentioned Justin being light years beyond where you thought he would be. You meant that just mechanically, and what needed to be fixed there?
Nothing needed to be fixed. It's just, again, when somebody, you know, with that little experience comes into a situation like playing quarterback at Ohio State, you know, there's just a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of things that, you know, he needs to handle. And so far he's handled them. But, you know, he's going to quickly learn here is that, you know, at Ohio State, you know, the more you win, the more the stakes get higher and higher. And, you know, the more is expected. So that all comes with it. But he's got a good head in his shoulders. I think he handles it well. He's got good poise. And he's just got to, he and Mike got to get in that room and just keep working on getting better.
Somebody, one of the receivers had mentioned preseason that they thought he had a better arm than Haskins. Is there a part of him that still is just learning how to use that arm strength the best way, you know, the right touch, that sort of thing?
It's hard to compare. I mean, arm strength is like saying, you know, who hits the longest drive. You know, it's not really something that's that important. I mean, if somebody has significant, you know, arm strength issues, that becomes a problem. But for the most part, it's how quick can the ball get out? How accurate can you be? Can you anticipate? Can you throw a touch? Those type of things. And Justin has as strong as arm as he needs. And now it's just, again, seeing the reads. And the more comfortable you are with your feet, and the more comfortable you are with your reads, your progressions, protections, all those things, and just seeing the coverage, the better off he's going to be.
Front row right, Bill.
Yeah, you kind of took my question. You knew Justin was very talented. Is there something that there's just no way you could have known that he has pleasantly surprised you or alternately concerned you?
No, not really. No, I mean, I think when you look at the way he approaches his work, you know, he handles it like a pro in terms of knowing when he steps on the field. You know, he can take a meeting to a field. That's important for a quarterback. There's a lot of guys who are talented out there, but when you need to take, you know, 20 reps to run a play, that's not good. You know, we throw a lot of offense at them. I mean, we're doing a lot of things on offense right now. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the spread stuff or the 12 stuff or under center or shotgun, I mean, I would say right now we're probably doing more stuff now overall than we've ever done just in terms of, you know, variety. And so for him to be able to handle all that is strong.
And you're playing a team this week that their coach even said on their conference call that if we were playing a recess game, you'd have the first 85 picks. I know that guarding against complacency is a major thing here. How do you do that this week?
Well, I think you just get on the film and you've started off with, you know, what corrections need to be made, not only by your unit, but also by, you know, just personally. What do you need to work on this week to get better? And then nothing can change, you know, whether it's game 3, game 7, game 8, you know, human nature tells you to cut corners, tells you to change things, easy to get distracted, a lot of people in your ear. None of that stuff can change. You know, we have good momentum right now. We have to keep that going, and we can't get distracted. And once that happens, then you set yourself up for failure. So that'll be the focus this week. It's not going to be manufactured. We're not just going to make that up, but we're just going to hold them accountable like we always have. And, you know, that doesn't change from when we were in the spring to when we were doing preseason workouts. Every day has to be consistent. And, you know, so far we've done that, but it's something we have to stay on definitely about.
Front row left, Doug.
Is there anything about Justin's natural throwing motion that would give him a tendency to throw high if he's not careful?
No, not really. I mean, most most guys, when you look at them coming out of high school, if they overstride, then they have a tendency to sail the ball. Dwayne was the same way. JT was the same way when we first got here. You know, Justin is no different. You know, if you overstride, typically your elbow drops. And so, you know, that's why we have the hula hoops out there. And that's just something, but that's with any quarterback. And so, you know, we have baseball nets and different things that we have to drill that. But again, he's not unique in that situation.
Justin has played well. When we talk to Justin, he's very low-key about it. He's keeping it team-focused and all that. Did you tell him to be that way?
No. I mean, that's Justin. You know, he's one thing I tell all the quarterbacks is you got to be yourself. There's certain characteristics that all leaders have, that really good quarterbacks have, and traits and virtues. But at the end of the day, you have to believe in who you are, and you have to be yourself. And JT was very different than Dwayne, and Justin's very different than Dwayne or JT. And so you have to just be yourself in the end. Now there's certain things that I'm, you know, we're all working on to you know, make him be the leader that we need him to be in the end. But that's with any young quarterback, and so we'll keep working at it. And he's good. He takes to coaching. He's very intelligent. And again, all we can ask is that he gets better every week.
And along the lines of some of the things asked today, last week when you were talking about this team, you mentioned, I think, the phrase best in the nation a couple of times, that you guys want to be the best in the nation at this. Just what context would you like your guys to have in their head of, you got to win Saturday, you got to win in the Big Ten, but do you want a belief or a thought process around here that, yeah, we should be the best in the nation at what we do? Do you want that kind of thought out front?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've talked about it before, that, you know, we want to be the best at what we do. And we've talked about what that means, whether it's, you know, a sniper in the military or, you know, the best surgeon, you know, and you know, there's no small surgeries if you're a surgeon. You know, there's no small games at Ohio State. You got to be, if you're the best in America, you need to show that every week. And, you know, that's our goal. And we're not ashamed to say that. I mean, we want to be the best. But that's another conversation. You know, how do you go about doing that? And that's to stay focused on this game and really just this practice. If you can just focus on this practice right now, have a great Tuesday. Because when we've played good, we've had good Tuesday practices. We've had good Wednesday practices. And when you put that in the bank, when you get into the game, that's what you can fall back on.
All right, Tim?
Yeah, earlier, several weeks ago, the lament was y'all didn't have necessarily a number two running back who had asserted himself. What kind of sense of relief is it, I guess, after the last couple of games, especially after Saturday, to see Master Teague rise to that occasion?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's relief as much as it is just excitement to see him get going, because I think we all kind of had an idea what we had, but it was hard because of these nagging things that were going on, and we couldn't get him practicing and get him going. And then, you know, it's kind of the way we've been talking about it leading up to this week. You know, we said he had three, four weeks of practice in, and he was just about ready to get going, and he did. And so that was exciting to see, for sure. And, you know, he needs to assert himself and start to be a guy we can count on.
And when you look at your defense, Josh Proctor had a couple of plays he could have made Saturday on top of it. But who are you seeing that's really rising there? Obviously, Tariq Smith got banged up again last week. I was wondering what his status was. But how much has being able to play those young guys paid off already early in this season? I'm talking about, you know, throughout the defense.
Yeah, no. You know, it's hard to pick out one or two guys. I think they're all kind of swarming to the ball, and different guys have flashed at different times. You know, Josh was in a couple opportunities to make those plays. You know, one of them, his eyes were actually looking to match somebody, so it kind of caught him, and it looked funky because it hit his knee. But his eyes were actually weren't on the quarterback at that play, but he was in the right spot to make the play. And, you know, he's flying around. He's doing a great job. But there's a lot of guys over there that are working at it. I think as a defense, you know, we've been able to play some of that depth. I think the depth is getting better. They're playing better now as the more experience they have. But again, when you watch the film, there's so much to improve on. There's so many things we got to get cleaned up. So, yeah, I wouldn't say there's any one guy, but guys have definitely flashed in their own opportunity when they've been out there.
Second row middle, Bruce.
I think three times now you've said that there's a lot of things on film without, you know, causing the empire to topple from within. Can you share with us, take us inside what they are?
I wouldn't say it's one or two things. It's just, you know, alignment, assignment, execution, fundamentals, just all those things that, you know, when we're focusing on playing hard and playing tough and playing physical, you know, you're not talking about those other things. You're not talking about the exact step you're going to take. We don't care. You know, we knock the guy over. You know, knock the guy back if you're an offensive lineman. Take that ball, put it chin, and run as hard as you can. You know, and so that without that, we have no chance. Okay, now can we do that with also high end execution, high end fundamentals, and if we can do that, then we can take the next step.
You made the comment after the game Saturday that you want to correct without creating resentment. Safe to say that's not been a concern of football coaches down through the ages. Maybe some of the ones who coached here, like Woody, Bo, you know, Michigan and others. Like, I wonder where that mindset comes from you. Is that from a leadership thing?
Well, it's funny you say that because I actually talked to a bunch of people about Woody Hayes, and he actually, from what the stories I've heard, is that he didn't create resentment, that he was really hard, but he didn't create resentment, and the players loved him. And I think that's really important is, you know, a great coach can make corrections, show someone where they need to improve, but then don't belittle them or make them feel like, you know, they're inferior because they made a mistake. If they're going really, really hard, here's how you become great. And that's really, really important. And with young kids, we have to keep them focused as well. That's part of this. But, you know, these guys are willing to go hard. And it just goes back to the whole thing about love. You know, I mean, do they fear you? Do they love you? And I think that, you know, right now our guys love us as coaches. We love them. And so that's healthy, in my opinion. And so that's our goal this week. Make those corrections. Don't create any resentment and keep building.
Bill alluded to Coach Martin's comment earlier about the recess and you get the first 85 picks. I wonder if Everett, New Hampshire, or maybe Temple, can you think back on a time where you went into a game where it looked similarly unbalanced in that regard, and what's the mindset of the coaching staff when you were on that other side?
Yeah, I mean, I've coached a couple different places, and you know, all you'd really do when you look into a game is just, you know, just trying to execute, and you know, you don't worry so much about all that. Yeah, I've been in that role before, but that has nothing to do with, you know, your team, your execution, your motivation, things like that. It's an opportunity, and every week's an opportunity. And so you look at it that way, and again, it ends up going back to your training. So as hard as you practice, as hard as you work, that's what you're going to come back to in the end, and how hard you prepare. And, you know, some of our guys on Friday night before the game, you know, they're up in their room when I'm doing bed check, and they're going through their tips, they're going through their film, they're going through all those stuff to get themselves prepared. And, you know, as long as we're really challenging our guys to make sure they're doing that in preparation, physically, mentally, emotionally, and then you know, playing on the field takes care of itself.
Yeah, time for two more. Fourth row, left center, Patrick.
After the game, Justin talked about, you know, what he thought he didn't do well. He also talked about going to JK after the dropped touchdown and, you know, telling him to let it go. Chris said he also came to him after one of the high passes and took credit for that. I'm curious just his improvement as a leader. You talked preseason about needing to see more of that. Have you seen that as the season has kind of gotten underway and taking that ownership?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and the guys on the team, you know, really respect him and the way he goes about his business. And, yeah, I saw that same thing too. You know, it's easy to go in the tank after a play like that. It's kind of a routine play. We didn't make it. And as frustrating as that is, we need to move on to play the next play. And that's a credit to all the guys, is that there's no reason to look back on it and start to, you know, struggle in terms of moving forward. You got to move on to the next play. That being said, you know, we got to make those plays. And so that's what we'll drill this week.
And far right over here, Clay.
In hockey, they have the Gordie Howe hat trick and a goal, assist, and a fight. Do you think Chris Olave could start kind of like the daily double, TD catch, and a block punt? I mean, is it what he's doing starting to become, I don't know, legend?
Well, he certainly the last six games he's had his production's been off the charts, but that's the way he practices. And when you go back through and watch the film of the last few weeks, I mean, he's practicing that way. And this is a guy who's highly productive for a reason, because that's the way he works. You know, he knows what he's doing when he's out there. He takes his job very serious, and he practices really, really hard. And anytime you practice really, really well, you gain the confidence of the guys around you. And, you know, like on that punt block, I think everybody on that team believed he would block the punt if everybody did their job. So Taraja Mitchell goes through and knocks the shield back. Austin Mack pours it into the right shield, and that whole thing collapsed down. And that without those two guys, that would never have happened. And then Chris comes off the edge. So it's belief based on your practice habits. You know, if we're throwing a go ball or we're throwing a post, And, you know, we're dropping it in practice or we're not where we're supposed to be. There's no belief there. But when you do it in practice and you believe in somebody, then that makes a big difference in game because confidence is critical, you know, especially when it's time to execute on the game field. So,
Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.